Earlier in our worship, we sang the words, "In Him we live and we survive." We also often sing in our worship the words, "Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign." We also often sing the words, "He was born to die on Calvary, to redeem all lost humanity. Conquered death, He rose triumphantly. Now He reigns for all eternity." In a few moments, we'll sing the words, "An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives." Why do we sing these words that discuss the risen Savior? Why do we discuss the resurrection? Why do we focus on this resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah? Why does it matter? The Apostle Paul gives us an explanation of why the resurrection matters. He does that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we'll read the words of the Apostle Paul given to him by the Holy Spirit that explain why the resurrection is important, that can help us to understand why we focus on the resurrection, why we focus on the death that led to that resurrection during our worship and in our praise to our God. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 now. If you're using the Bible that's on the chair in front of you, this is going to be page 1323. And I do encourage you to read with me. So we're going to start at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1. We'll read through verse 8. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as one untimely born, He appeared also to me." Then let's go down to verse 12. Read verses 12 through 19. "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it's true the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied." Then we read verses 20 through 24. "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then come the end when he delivers a kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and authority and power. And then verse 32, where Paul says here, what do I gain if humanly speaking I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So, what Paul explains here is that if there is no resurrection, if Christ is not raised, there's no resurrection. Number one, Christ has not been raised. Our preaching is in vain. Everything that we teach is in vain. And these all apply to us even today. Our faith would be useless. Prophecies about Christ from the beginning would be wrong. Ultimately, and probably most importantly here, if Christ has not been raised, then we are still in our sins. We have no hope. We are dead. We are lost. Then in some of the intervening verses here, Paul compares Adam to Christ. And some of the wording that's used here is Adam being called a man of earth, Christ a man of heaven. And then it gets into talking about that which is mortal versus that is immortal. And that is which is perishable and that which is imperishable. Thinking about Christ. So then we'll go to verse 49. Read what it says there. It says, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that is Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. That is Christ. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. And then finally, in verse 54, Paul sums up and says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, that can be likened to us putting on Christ, who is imperishable and who has been raised. The mortal puts on immortality. Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So thinking about all the reasons why, if there is no resurrection, all the things that we don't have. He sums up and says, we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ because of his death, because of the resurrection. And then finally, here in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, that is, in his death, in his resurrection, in our life through him, in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Amen. Let us rejoice in that and let us reflect on these things as we continue to remember our Lord and Savior and as we partake in his supper. Amen.